بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 26 من شهر ربيع الأول 1446 الموافق ل 30 من شهر سبتمبر 2024، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك أشراط الساعة. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today inshallah we continue from where we stopped last درس. And during the last درس we're talking about the fitan that comes from Iraq, right? فمن العراق ظهر الخوارج from the مشرق. So the Mu'allif says, Khawarij, they first emerged from Iraq. Yeah, whoever studied the history knows when these people emerged. والشيعة, Shia also. والروافض, والباطنية, we talk about all of these, right? والقدرية, we talk about قدرية, right? والجهمية, and the جهمية, these are the Nufatu, الأسماء والصفات أتباع جهم بن صفوان. These are the followers of Al-Jahm bin Safwan. They have a very, very evil and weird aqidah. They don't reject only the asma. The sifat. They even rejected the name. And they even rejected the names of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. They believe that Allah doesn't have a name. Well, Mu'tazila and Mu'tazila أتباع واصل ابن عطاء. These are the people who are actually part of Qadariyah and also Khawarij, because they have some, you know, some of the element of Khawarij in them also at the same time. And also they believe that the one who committed a major sin will go to hell forever. Yeah, although they don't call him a kafir like the Khawarij. The Khawarij says, Kafir kufr mukhrijum anil millah. They said, if you commit a major sin, you will be a kafir, the kufr that takes you out of Islam. Mu'tazila did not say that, but they say that this person will go to hell forever, just like the Khawarij as well. You get it? وَأَكْثَرُ مَقَالَةِ الْكُفْرِ كَانَ مَنْشَأُهَا مِنَ الْمَشْرِكِ. The Mu'allif says, the vast majority of the maqalat al-kufr, statements which are based on kufr, they emerge from the Mashriq, from the east. You get it? That's eastern part of the Medina. So the east part of the world, the Prophet said the vast majority of the, the Mu'allif says the vast majority of the statement of Kufr, they began from that place. Min jihat al-Furs al-Majus, from the side of the Furs al-Majus, the Persians, right? The fire worshippers, these are the Majus. So they have a lot of firaq that emerge from that place. Kal Zardashtiya. This is Ashab Zardasht bin Yurash. Even the name is not easy to be pronounced. Wa Abuhu min Azerbaijan. So these are the followers of this entity. The firqa is Zardashtiya. And the followers of Zardasht, you know, is an entity. So his father is from Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan is also still Mashriq near Iran and Turkey and Armenia. These are all Mashriq. وَمِنْ أَقِيدَتِهِمْ أَنَّ النُّورَ وَالظُّلْمَ أَصْلَانِ مُتَضَادَّانِ. It's part of the aqidah that light and nura wa dhulma and darkness, these are two things that are contrary to each other. Wa huma mabda'u wujud al-'alam, and these are the beginning of the existence. You know, this world exists from them. You get it? So these are two different things, and they are the initiators of the 'alam. Wa zardasht hadha, this man, يقول إن الباري تعالى هو خالق النور والظلمة ومبدعهما. So he believes that the one who created the dhulma, the light, is Rabbul Alameen. You get it? They believe that these ones also are creators also themselves, right? Because they are the mabda, the beginning of the world. So this firqah, Zardashtiya, Jama'atun Munazzama, walaha darajat wa maratib wa mawdhinuhum Faris. So they are well organized. They is an organization, and they still exist in Faris. Okay. Yani, Allahu alam, in these days they are there because they are still there because you have the balance of all of these things, and from time to time they still emerge also. So this firqa that is mentioned by Sahibul Al-Mil wa Nihal, the Shahristani, you know, they exist in Faris, which is the Mashriq. Wal-Manawiyya. Al-Manawiyya is also a firqa min al-Majus, part of the Majus. Ashab Mani ibn Fatik al-Majusi. So these are the followers of Mani ibn Fatik al-Majusi. We call them Manawiyya. Yeah. He is one of the Persians. وَأَقِيدَتُهُمْ أَنَّ الْعَالَمَ مَخْلُوقٌ مِّنْ أَصْلَيْنِ. They believe that the world is created, the universe is created from two asl, two origin. قَدِيمَيْنِ. قَدِيمَيْنِ means?
Uncreated,
you know. They have no beginning. وَهُمَا الظُّلْمَةُ وَالنُّورِ. And these are the light and darkness. Right? Mm-hmm. And you know that these are the people who believe that any good that happens to you, it is from the light. And any evil that happens to you, it is from the ilahu dhulma. You know. That's why the poet says, whatever ni'mah you get at night, this ni'mah is indirectly telling you, manawiyya liars, that they are lying. Because they said that darkness doesn't produce good. How come you get good at night? They said, whenever you get something good at night, it is an indication that these guys are lying. They are big liars. Okay, so you have Al-Manawiyya, you have Al-Mazdakiyya. So Ashab Mazdak, so strange names. Ashab Mazdak Ibn Ba-Fidak. Alladhi da'a ila Al-Ibahiyya, A'udhu Billah. Wa ishtiraki nas fi nisa'i wal amwal. And he called upon Al-Ibahiyya. Ibahiyya means just living like animals. Having zina anyhow, it's okay for you to have zina with any person. Anyhow. You know. Those ones sometimes they have Yawm al-Ibahiyya. And some of, I guess Christian they have, and some of those people who claim to be with us also they have, where they gather themselves male and female, and everyone's free to do whatever he wants. And they switch off the light and do whatever they want. Exactly, inshallah. So this is a part of the aqeedah. Da'a ila al-ibahiyya wa ishtiraki nas fi nisa'i wal amwal. So there is nothing called, this is your wife. No, she belongs to anyone. Yes, like animal life, yeah. And also amwal, there's nothing called, this is my wealth. Whatever you find, just use it. It belongs to you also. You're also partnering in the wealth of others. وَلَيْسَتِ الشُّوَعِيَّ الْحَدِيثَ إِلَّا امْتِدَادًا مِنَ الْمَزْدِكِيَّةِ. The Shiwaiya, who are the Shiwaiya? The communist, the recent one, they are actually the extension of those ones. The next one is Al-Hindusiyya. Hindusiyya, Diyanatu Al-Jamharat Al-Uzma Fil Hind Al-An. The vast majority of the people in India, they also followed this. They follow this. وَقَدْ جَاءَ بِهَا آرِيُونَ. Maybe Hamar will have to pronounce the name correctly. Aryun, عندما فتحوا الهند. So when they defeated the Hind, وليس لها مؤسس معين وهي مجموعة أقائد ولهم آلهة كثيرة. They don't have a specific founder, and they have a lot of أقائد. You get it? And they have so many آلهة, so many إله. ويقسمون الناس إلى أربع طبقات, على أهل براهمة وأدناها المنبوذون ولهم كتاب مقدس اسمه ويداء, اسمه ويداء. So they have a book, they do تقديس to this book, and the name of the book is ويداء. In Arabic, Alif Wallam, Waw, Ya, Dal, Alif. We need to see the way they write it in Indian language. And this is a history of those Aryun, you know, the one who brought the Aqidah itself. Okay. And the next one is Al-Budhiyya. So this one you see from the Mashriq of the world. So Al-Budhiyya, مؤسس هذه النحلة اسمه سيد هارتا. This is the one who founded the Budhiyya. ثم تسمى ببوذا. Then they call it Budha. ودعوته تقوم على التقشف والزهد. The da'wah of this one, that's why after date I think you see them wearing very simple dress, simple clothes. So the da'wah of this person is based on taqashuf, living ascetic life, you know, harsh life, wariyadat, and exercises. That's what they have. I think in their places, all of those martial arts they do. And you see things being practiced in it, which are part of the religion. That's how we, the Muslim, when we take those things, you know, we learn them. We have to stay away from the other practices which are related to religion, such as ruku and sujood for the trainer. You know, learn the skill, no problem. Self defense is always good, but we stay away from the other things which are against Islam. Okay, and they have also this meditation rope, right? It's part of the aqidah, which is not part of us, although nowadays a lot of Muslimin are going for it, you know. So we don't have meditation, we have tadabbur, you know. We have tadabbur. Meditation is part of their aqidah, their deen. Lahum deenuhum wa lana deenuna. What we have in Islam is tadabbur of the Quran, ayatul Quran, and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lead you to be righteous. كده إن شاء الله. ويقول بتناسخ, والتناسخ أساس ديانة الهند, right? Yeah. What is the تناسخ? I mean, you don't stop, right?
Oh, reincarnation.
Reincarnation. You just turn into something else. If a person is good, then another creation that is good. Yeah. وبوذا لا يؤمن بوجود إله. Doesn't believe that there is إله. وقد امتزجت البوذية بالهندوسية وذابت فيها وأصبح بوذا من آلهة الهندوس. So now the two aqida mix. So they merge and they just have one aqida al-Buddha, Buddhiya, you know. The next one is Al-Qadianiyya. وأخيرا وليس آخرا القاديانية. And the last one is قاديانية. نسبة إلى مؤسسها الميرزا غلام أحمد القادياني. وكان ظهور هذه في أواخر القرن التاسع عشر الميلادي. القرن التاسع عشر 19th century الميلادي في الهند في إقليم بنجاب في باكستان. وادعى النبوة. He claims that he is نبي. وأنه المسيح الموعود. And he is also المسيح. Isa ibn Maryam. Unfortunately, I met one of those. But that one is really character, because he doesn't follow Ahmad Ghulam Ahmadiyya, but he believes he is Masih Ibn Maryam. He used to be Muslim and just told his wife he is Masih Ibn Maryam, and she is Dajjal. If she doesn't accept him, she is Dajjal. So I happened to be part of the discussion. I was just sitting down and I see a message from him that somebody asked him to contact me. So I found it interesting. I told the family, oh, one of the false prophets, send them a message, you know, subhanAllah. Very funny and pathetic discussion. You will lie. Typical ignorant person who is 100% lost. Lost. Sometimes you say, is he within his akal? Because sometimes the first time when they told me about him, well, I thought, actually, maybe somebody understood from him. It is not true. But then he himself, he told me, I asked him, so you are Isa ibn Maryam? He said, yes. So you came back already. Anyway, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, before the day of judgment, you are going to see not less than 30 false prophets. We'll talk about them later, inshallah. So he claims to be a prophet. وَأَنَّهُ الْمَسِيحُ الْمَوْعُودُ وَسَعَدَهُ الْإِنْجْلِيسِ فِي نَشْرِ دَعْوَتِهِ. Of course, the English people, they supported him to spread the message. Yeah, those ones, they are really expert. Whoever comes and opposes Islam, then he will find a place with them. They do everything to support him because they know that he's going to have influence in the Muslim communities. This is part of the agenda, the mission. وَمِنْ أَبَاطِيلِهِ نَسْخُ الْجِهَادِ وَفَرْضَعَتِ الْحُكُومَ الْبِرِطَانِيَّةِ. One of the things he brought is that jihad is haram, is abrogated. Okay? And also, everyone has to follow the British government. They are the main khalifa to be followed. Yeah. Is that clear? Mm-hmm. They are the one who supported him, right? وَأَنَّ نَزُولَ عِيسَى مِنْ نَزْجِ النَّصَارَى وَمَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ عِيسَى وَمَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ عِيسَى مَا مَاتَ فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ. He says, Isa ibn Maryam will never come back. The Christians just brought something from themselves. And whoever believes that Isa did not die is mushrik. وَكَانَ هَلَاكُهُ سَنَةً 1908. He died. You know, subhanAllah, these people usually, they don't live longer. Yeah. Al-Hanafi says, Ni'matullahi Azza wa Jalla, min Ni'matullahi Azza wa Jalla ala al-ibad. These false prophets, they don't live longer. Yeah, because they are the most dangerous entities in human beings. You might say, what happened to Shaitan? Shaitan usually doesn't come and block the means completely. He touched this part, you block it, he touch another one, your battle with him will remain like that. But a false prophet will sit and stand between you and the truth. You will never see it. Yeah, it will take you out of Islam completely. That's why they're very dangerous, very dangerous. Abu Bakr take it a very serious matter. And he got them down, all those people who are with him. Some of them came back to Islam, some of them remain, and they got what they deserved. Like Musaylimah al-Kadhab, Aswad al-Ansi, you know, those ones, they got what they deserve. With his fake wife, Sajah, she also claimed to be a prophet. Ibn Kathir says when Musaylimah al-Kadhab realized that, because she has a very strong army, and he has a strong army, so he realized that he's going to get into trouble as long as this woman is not on his side. And he wants to fight Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wants to fight Abu Bakr. So, he arranged for a meeting. Of course, she's going to come with her army, and he came also with his. So they came, they met in a tent. Ibn Kathir says, they met Allahu A'lam bima waqa'a fi hadha al-tent, fi hadha al-khaymah. Only Allah knows. If you look at the history, what history is saying, you know, they did zina just like that. Okay, now you are wife and you agree to be wife, you are my wife, and then khalas. They commit zina and he came out. I'm sorry, she came out. She went to her people, they asked her, what happened between you and him? She said, we married. Yeah. So what did he pay you as sadaq? She said, he did not give me anything. So they ask her, they call him, what kind of evil prophet is this? So she went back to him to ask for her mahar. And according to history, he told her, mahar is to, your people have discount in the 5 daily prayer. They don't need to pray 5 times in a day. He got what he deserved. Alayd al-Wahshi. Wahshi killed him. The one who killed Hamza is the one who got him down. He said, I used to carry this heavy responsibility. I don't know how to remove this shame on my neck by killing Hamza. But when I kill Musaylamah al-Kadhab, he said, I feel relief. It's like I was carrying a mountain, but now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it off from my head. The last one he mentioned, Al-Baha'iyyah. Mu'assisuha din al-Nihla, Rajulun min Faris. He's also from Faris, the one who established Al-Baha'iyyah. Ismu Mirza Ali Muhammad Shirazi. Alladhi laqqaba nafsahu bil Baba. No, alladhi laqqaba nafsahu bil Bab. Looked like Baba. So he called himself Al-Bab. وَقَدْ سَجَنَتْهُ حُكُومَةُ فَارِسٍ. And you can imagine how much bad he is. Even the Hukuma and Faris also jailed him, sent him to jail. He got it ثُمَّ قَتَلَتْهُ. And then the government killed him. وَخَلَفَهُ أَحَدُ أَتْبَائِهِ وَهُوَ بَهَاءُ اللَّهِ Mirza Hussein Ali. So he was replaced by one of his followers. His name is Mirza. His name is Baha'ullah Mirza Hussein Ali. That's the name of the one who replaced him. وَمِنْ أَقَائِدِهِ نَسْخُ الْقُرْآنِ. It's the Quran is mansukh, no Quran. وَهَدْمُ الْكَعْبَ. Kaaba need to be destroyed. وَإِبْطَالُ الْحَجِّ. And Hajj is not obligatory, it's not part of the Sharia. وَدَّعَ النُّبُوَّةَ. وَلَهُ كِتَابٌ سَمَّاهُ الْكِتَابُ الْأَقْدَسِ. Now, he says he was a prophet and he has a book, he called it الْكِتَابُ الْأَقْدَسِ, the holiest book. SubhanAllah. So all of these, you know, these are just examples. If you go deeper, you see that the root of all of the fitna is from the mashriq. As the Prophet ﷺ said, أَلَا إِنَّ الْفِتْنَةَ مِنْهَا هُنَا. أَلَا إِنَّ الْفِتْنَةَ مِنْهَا هُنَا. وَأَيْضًا فَإِنَّ ظُهُورَ التَّتَارِ. You know Tatar, right? Mm. Mongols. Yeah. They're also from that place. Tatar. Firqan Jankis Khan. Firqan Sabi al Hijri. Kana min al Mashriq. Also from the Mashriq. Wa qad hadatha ala aydihim al damar wal qatl wal sharr al azim. Ma huwa mudawwan fi kutub al tarikh. You know, these people, they really, really, really got the Muslims into trouble. When they reach a city, and he, subhanAllah, that means that city has to be taken down. They don't want to see a brick on a brick. And they kill. Yeah. So they reach even Baghdad. Baghdad was the capital city of the Muslimin at that time. Usually the capital city is the most highly protected area in every place. Capital city has more protection than any other state. So from that place, the commands are coming from the Khalifa to the rest of the Muslim community. The army also are located in that place much more than what you find in any other place. So imagine these guys, they destroy Baghdad. Dammaruha. They kill more than 1 million. Some history are saying 2 million people gone in Baghdad. They burned the books. The Nahr Dijla turned into the dark of because of the ink and the ashes of the papers they burnt. We lost so many books and so many lives after that battle. That's why even some people believe that these are the Ajuj and Majuj. Because whatever they come across, they get it down. But SubhanAllah, Qudratullah, the Zahf, you know, was stopped and Aladiman Muhammad Qudus, right? People like Babers. Qudus was the king of Egypt at that time. SubhanAllah, and they destroyed Baghdad, but when they reached that place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped them. Ma'arakatu Hittin. You know, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they got what they deserve. You know. And later on, Dawlat Uthmaniyah is aimed to that. They accepted Islam long ago. رُبَّ ضَارَةٍ نَافِعَةٍ. So the Tatar, the Mongols, they are also from that part of the world, the Mashriq. وَإِلَى الْيَوْمِ لَا يَزَالُ الْمَشْرِقُ مَنْبَعًا لِلْفِتَنِ وَالشُّرُورِ وَالْبِدْعِ وَالْخُرَافَاتِ وَالْإِلْحَادِ. Up to date, most of the deviation is from that part. Yeah, most of the deviation in the Muslim territories is from that part. You get it? So this place up to date is the place of the fitna and shar and bid'ah and khurafat wal ilhad. Ilhad is the deviation going against the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any sense. Asma'ullah, tawheed and sharia itself. Fashiyu'iyyah al-mulhidah markazuha Rusya. Shiwaya, communism, right? They are from where? From Russia. Mashriq, Wassin, Ashiwaya, Ohma fil al Mashriq. Wasekun dhur dajjal wa juj wa majuj min jihat al Mashriq. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al Dajjal sayakhruj min wain? Min ardin yuqalu laha Asfuhan. Wa yatba'uhu Yahud 70,000 min Yahud Asfuhan ma'hum al-tayalisa. We'll talk about this inshallah in detail when we reach Dajjal. Dajjal also and Yajuj and Majuj, they will come from that side. Na'udhu billahi min al-fitan ma dhahara minha wa ma batan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from fitan, the one that is apparent and the one that are hidden. Wala budda li huna min an unabbiha ala anna ba'd al-fitan huwa min ashrat as-sa'ah التي نص عليها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he says, and it is also important for us to draw the attention of the reader that there are some of the fitan that happens to the Muslim community which happen to be part of the أشراط الساعة. كواقعة الصفين. كما نص عليها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Some of these fitan, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned specifically that they are going to happen. And they took place from the side of the Mashriq. Kawaqa'at al-Siffin, the Battle of Siffin. Yeah, we will talk about this one, inshallah. Or the Hur al-Khawarij, and the Khawarij. You get it? Wa sa'atakallam bi-ijaz an ba'd al-fitan al-azim allati kanat sababan fi tafriq al-muslimina wa dhuhur al-sharr al-azim. He said, I'm going to talk in a very, very brief manner about some of these fitan that were the reason why the Muslim Ummah were separated, were divided. Before, we used to have unity upon one Imam, one Aqidah, but then later on, it changes because of this fitan that penetrated the Muslim community. Number one, Maqtal Uthman radiallahu anhu. The assassination of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Who was Uthman? ثالث الخلفاء الراشدين, right? The third Khalifa, according to the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The third Khalifa after Umar radiallahu anhu. And he was selected by the consensus of the Muslimin. Because Umar, before he died, he said, I will leave the affairs of the believer, you know, to choose the leader by themselves. And also, I will give them six options. They choose one of them. Either one is okay. He said, these are the ones that I know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died while he was pleased with them. Allahu Akbar. This shahada azeema lahum. Who are these people? Ali ibn Abi Talib, Uthman bin Affan, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, Talha ibn Ubaidullah, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Abdurrahman bin Auf, Sitta. And Umar said, فَإِنْ أَصَابَتَ الْإِمْرَةُ سَعَدًا فذاك فإني لم أعزله عن عيب ولا خيانة أو كما قالوا. He says if the khilafah, the choice, you know, falls on Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he says that's good, that's excellent, because I want people to know that I did not ask him to resign from the responsibility being the governor in Hims because of deception or cheating or negligence. You remember that case, right? You know, when the people of that city complain against him, that Sa'd is zalim. Subhanallah. You know, Sa'd accepted Islam, I think maybe day number two after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, was told by Jibreel that he is Rasulullah. Abu Bakr met him, and Az-Zubayr, Abdurrahman bin Auf, Uthman bin Affan, they accepted Islam. And now somebody from another country who did not even see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was saying that Sa'd doesn't know how to pray, and he's zalim. So Sa'd got annoyed. And Umar, subhanAllah, you can see why people are talking about the Khilafat Umar radiallahu anhu more and more. Because Umar, in his Khilafah, he doesn't tolerate any form of criticism, even if it is true. Even if it is not true. Even if the criticism is not true, Umar doesn't tolerate that. That's why Umar asked somebody to go and verify about the claim against Sa'd. They went to him, they went to the city with Sa'd, and they asked Sa'd to pray in the masajid of the city. And after the salah, the man who was sent by Umar would stand up and ask people, what do you think about this person? Do you know him? They would say, yeah, this is our leader. What do you think about him? In every masjid they go, they praise him. He's one of the best. This, they praise him so much. Except one masjid, this is the last masjid. In that masjid, only one person stood up. And he repeated the same claim that was sent to Umar radiallahu anhu. That means the accusation, you know, against Sa'd is from how many people? One. And in the city, the whole city, only one person has issue. According to our hisab, did Sa'd pass the test? And if you are a leader, nobody has issue with you except one person. Do you succeed? Yes, he do succeed. Nowadays, almost everyone has issue. But nobody has issue with him except one. He stood up and in the masjid, he repeated the same claim. Sa'd got annoyed. And what made him annoyed is the last accusation. وَلَا يَعْرِفِ كَيْفَ يُسَلِّي وَلَا يُحْسِنِ كَيْفَ يُسَلِّي. Sa'd doesn't know how to pray. Sa'd doesn't care about saying that he is zalim, he is this and that. He says the one that hurts me so much is that I don't know how to pray. Said I accepted Islam, the very beginning of Islam, and I was throughout my life with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam learning how to pray. And then this guy who did not even know how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked like is the one who is telling me I don't know how to pray. Said this is the most painful one. And then he says, Ya Allah. And subhanAllah, that was a mistake of that guy. Because Sa'd is known amongst the companions to be mustajab da'wah. If he makes dua, Allah accepts instantly. He raised his hand, he said, Ya Allah, if this person stood up just to show off, he says, Ya Allah, Allahumma atil umrahu. Ya Allah, give him a long life. Wa a'mi basarahu. Ya Allah, make him blind. Wa aridhu lil fitan. He says, make him poor. Wa aridhu lil fitan. And Ya Allah, send a lot of fitan to him, one after the other. Subhanallah. You can imagine how much he annoys this companion of the Prophet. And guess what? None of these dua, part of this dua that this guy missed. He lived a very long life. I think one of the Atba'i Tabi'in saw him. You can imagine how long he lived. They said, وَقَدْ سَقَطَ حَاجِبَهُ مِنَ الْكِبْرِ. In al-kibar, this, what do you call this, eyebrows, they even, khalas, gone completely out of old age. Too old, even he lost these ones. And that's number one. And he's extremely poor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a lot of children, poor with a lot of kids. And he became blind. And also at the same time, he's too old, but he cannot be patient. when it comes to the desire. Wherever he hears the voice of a woman, he follows the try to go and catch her. He used to say to the people, please make way to the person who is affected by the dua of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. SubhanAllah. So you can see that event, right? What is supposed to be done by Umar? To give him a word, right? Assalamu alaikum. I mean, the result of the investigation shows that out of 100,000 people, I don't know how many are they, only one person said bad word. I mean, in the exam, you have 100 questions, you fail one. I think they should write A++ across the end of the page for you. Umar is supposed to give him a word, right? But Umar did not. He asked him to resign immediately. Can you imagine what exactly Umar wants in his leaders, you know? That's why if you go and check the leaders of Umar, I mean the governors of Umar, SubhanAllah, there was a governor in one of the cities. Umar met the people, members of the community of that city. So he asked them, where are you from? They said, we are from this place. So this place of so and so and so, they said, yes. What do you think about him? They praise him. And he asked them, he says, for sure, you have some poor people who are in need of money. He said, please write down the list of people who need help. We have some balance of zakat that we can send it there. SubhanAllah. They wrote the list and they gave it to Umar. The first name on the list was the governor. The first name on the list was the governor. Abu Bakr, when he was appointed to be the leader, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he took his bag, heading towards the marketplace. Abdurrahman bin Auf saw him. And this is very good for all of us, you know. Abdurrahman bin Auf saw him. He says, Ya Khalifat Rasulillah, where are you going? He said, I'm going to the marketplace. He said, to do what? He said, to do business, to continue my life, to get something. I have family to feed them. I need to get money. So let me go and continue with my business. He says, no, it is inappropriate for you to get involved in the marketplace. He said, go home. We will give you a part of a sheep and some few dirham. No market for you. He sent him back. That's why this call is set. Government, when they go into the market, they get involved in the market activities. Market is going to get destroyed. Yeah, because any decision that they're going to have in the... When we say government, we don't mean a government itself, individuals who are holding responsibilities in the government position. When they are also in the market, trust me, the market system is going to be distorted. Because everything has to be done according to what will serve their purpose and their interests. Whatever decision they're going to be deciding in the Senate is going to be based on what? That's why in some places, government entities are the lowest thing that has quality. Why is that? Because all the senators, they also have companies in that. They also have universities. So when do you think they will have regulations to fix those things? You know, resolutions that are, you know, made to address those matters. It will take time. Yeah. That's why, wallahi, nothing fits the world economically and financially except the Islamic approach. Except Islam. You know, Abu Bakr refused to do. And that's how he lived. That's normal life. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he went to the marketplace and he found camels in the market. So he asked, they're very good camels. He said, these camels belong to who? They said, this is for your son. He said, which one among them? They said, Abdullah. He said, Abdullah. I said, yes, okay. He left. At night he called him immediately. He says, Abdullah, I was making my normal patrol in the marketplace, then I found those camels and they told me these are your camels. He said, yes, they are mine. You know, he knows that something is going to happen. He said, these are my camels. He says, no, Abdullah, it is inappropriate for you to get involved in the business like this. He said, but this is my money, my personal money. It's not that I got it from the Bayt al-Mal. No, this is my money. He said, I know. But don't you think if your camels are in the marketplace, people will say that these are the camels of Ibn Amir al-Mu'mineen, the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen. The movement of market will be stuck because everyone will have the interest of seeing the camels of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the family of Amir al-Mu'mineen, because Omar is very just. Everyone is enjoying the justice of Omar. So when they see anything coming from that family, they have to let it pass first. So he said, going to the marketplace is not appropriate for you. So what to do? This well, rather than telling him, okay, just after this, don't go back again. He said, please sell them immediately and take your capital and the profit, please put it in the Bayt al-Mal al-Muslimin. SubhanAllah, this is his own son, you know. He said, the profit, put it in the Bayt al-Mal al-Muslimin. So that list, when it was given to Omar, when he saw that governor, his name is number one. They said he has only one piece of cloth. Don't forget, this is a governor, and not somebody who is not the one in the classroom, the head of the class, class monitor. You know, is the governor of a city. You know, everything is, you know, on his hand. But SubhanAllah, those people, they think about Allah Subhanahu wa Taala first. They said Omar cried when he sees that. He has only one piece of cloth. That's why when they complain that there is a day which he doesn't come out to anyone, he told Umar radiallahu anhu, I have only one piece of cloth. So he has to take off one day to wash it and to stay home. And it get dried first. Then he can wear and come and meet people. He said, I give them my time except that day because I need to be clean also. SubhanAllah. Umar sent him a lot of money. When the money reached him, he asked the one who brought the money, this is for what? He said, Omar said, this is for you to settle your affairs. He said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He kept on saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He went back to his wife. The wife thought that Omar radiallahu anhu is dead. She told him, Amat al Khalifa? Did Omar die? Because the way she see him saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, she thought that this Khalifa died. He said, no, this is worse than the death of the Khalifa. So she asked him, what happened? He said, this is what happened. Omar sent us this amount of money. But I can only tell you what is that unless if you promise to help me to get rid of it. So he and the wife, they distributed the money. They did not leave a single cent in the house. So Omar asked them to choose one of those khulafa. He said, one of them to be the Khalifa, if Sa'ad happened to be the chosen one, he said, I will be happy with that because I want people to understand that I did not ask him to resign because of khiyana. But SubhanAllah, Sa'ad said, I don't want. When they told Sa'ad, Omar put you in the list, he said, I don't want. Abdurrahman bin Auf said, I don't want. However, if there are two people who don't want to decline the offer, I will be the judge between them. As Zubayr says, I don't want. Talha ibn Ubaidullah said, I don't want. So now, who remains? Uthman and Ali ibn Abi Talib. Each one of them wants to give his contribution to the Muslim Ummah. That's it. They're not looking for it for themselves. Each one of them wants to give his contribution to the Muslim Ummah. But then at the end of the day, Abdurrahman bin Auf happened to go with Uthman bin Affan because he has more than Ali bin Abi Talib. And also in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they used to put them like that, Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman, and then they keep quiet. So we believe that number four is Ali bin Abi Talib. These are the best four companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Nobody is like them, or even closer to them. So Uthman bin Affan was the third Khalifa after Umar ibn al-Khattab. لقد كان ظهور الفتن في أحد الصحابة رضي الله عنه بعد مقتل أمير المؤمنين عمر بن الخطاب فإنه كان بابا مغلقا دون الفتن. The fitan emerged in the time of Umar رضي الله عنه, in the time of the companions. after the assassination of Umar radiallahu anhu. Who assassinated him?
Abu
Lu'la Fayrus. Abu Lu'la al-Majusi was from the Majus. La'anatullahi alayhi. So he was the one who stabbed Umar radiallahu anhu and stabbed also around 17 or 13 rajulan mata minhum sab'a. Around 7 of them died. And then he killed himself. And one of the Muslim al-Qal alayhi brought him a blanket and covered him because he kept on stabbing everyone. So one of the Muslims jumped on him and covered him. So when he realized that the Muslims are going to get him, he just took the knife and cut himself, and killed himself by himself. Zulumatun ba'daha fawqa ba'd. Kufr. Killing the Khalifa of the Muslimin and also committing suicide. Darkness on top of darkness. So Umar kana baban mughlaqan dun al-fitan. Umar was like a door, last moment till I made him, you know, against the fitan. Meaning Umar is like the door that is blocking the fitan from reaching the Muslim communities. فَلَمَّا قُتِلَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ ظَهَرَتِ الْفِتَنِ الْعَظِيمَةِ. When he was killed, then a lot of fitan came. وَظَهَرَ دُعَاتُهَا مِمَّنْ لَمْ يَتَمَكَّنَ الْإِيمَانُ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. And those people who are calling upon the fitna, among those who don't have strong iman in their heart, or iman did not even go. وَمِمَّنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُظْهِرُونَ لِلنَّاسِ الْخَيْرِ. And from among the munafiqeen, the one that are exposing good to the people, but unfortunately they are kuffar. وَيُبْتِنُونَ الشَّرَّ. They expose good and they hid shar, wal-kayd, and hatred لِهَذَا الدِّينِ, against the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this, in the following, the Mu'allif is going to talk about a very beautiful hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman about the beginning of this fitna and how is it going to happen. You get it? And when it happens, inshallah. So I will keep this for the next class. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Any question? Yes, Adam.
Sheikh, sorry, I missed the sixth one. Elected to be definite. So it's Ali, Uthman, Zubair, Sa'ad, Talha, and
Abdurrahman bin Auf.
When Umar Radhiyallahu Anhu asked his son to sell the camels, is the whole capital and profit to be given to
him? He told him to take only the capital. The Prophet put it in the Bayt al-Mal. Because those people, you know, subhanAllah, Umar Radhiyallahu Anhu, he sent his children also to one of the battles. This is the top leader, Khalifa, but when the army left, his children also followed. Anyway, not like you are the leader and you send everybody else, but not you and your family. He sent his children also, they went. So when they're coming back, they pass through Basra, a city in Iran. Up to date, the name is still there. So they pass through this place. And they remember that the governor of that place was Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. He was there. So they said, oh, this is Basra. Let's go and say salam to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari before we leave. Yeah, with good intention. They just a great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's just pass salam to him and then leave back to Medina. He will be happy to see us, you know, young children and the army also coming to visit him. They went and they said salam to him. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was thinking of what to give them as a gift. Governor doesn't have anything to give them in his house. He said, children, unfortunately, I don't have anything to give you as a gift. So I'm very sorry. No money, no anything. So, but then he said, oh, bala, I have some. Hauna malu min malillah. He said, there is a wealth. I guess they are camels. He said, they're supposed to be taken to Bayt al-Mal al-Muslimin. So take this camel. I have an idea. You take the camels. On the way back to Medina, you can sell the camels and invest, do some trading with the money. You have to remember the capital, how much it was. Mm. When you reach Medina, give the capital to Amir al-Mu'mineen and you take the profit. See, that's the only thing I can do to help you. They did. get here, and there they got Prophet Ubaydullah and Abdullah ibn Umar. They're both children of Umar. When they reach Umar radiallahu anhu, they told him, this is the money that came from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, but this is how the story begins. Those people, they are very honest. They did not tell him, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said, we should pass the money to you. No, they told him, this is how the story began. They informed him about everything. Umar said, no. He said, I have a question. Did he give everyone amongst the soldiers? They said, no. He gave only you? They said, yes. He said, because you are the children of the Khalifa, right? SubhanAllah. Allah is as if they are not human beings, you know. He said, because, and in our time, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari now on his rutba will go beyond that one. He will get promoted to higher position. So he said, because you are the children of the Khalifa, right? They kept quiet. Yeah, because what is the translation? They are not alone. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari gave them alone. He did not give the rest. He's also with good intention. Those ones don't want anything, you know. They are assigned because they have no choice. They have to go. Yeah. So Umar said, SubhanAllah, look at the way he's blocking the means to corruption in the community. He said, because you are the children of Amir al-Mu'mineen, right? They kept quiet. He said, I don't agree. Take the wealth and put it in the Baytul Mal al-Muslimin. All of it, the capital and the profit. They said, yeah, Amir al-Mu'mineen, we have a question. If this money is to be missing, who is responsible to pay? He said, you. They said, you see, that means if there is a gain, we should also be part of the gain. Umar said, no, I don't agree. Put both capital and the profit in the Baytul Mal al-Muslimin. And subhanAllah, this is how the scholar get this, al-kharaj bil-daman wal-ghunmu bil-ghunmi. There's a very famous qaida. You know, liability justifies the gain. You are responsible if there is a loss, so if there is a gain, you should also be part of the gain. In the way you are part of the gain, if there is a loss, you should also be part of the loss, which the bank says otherwise. And they call themselves Islamic things. Allah guide all of us. So Umar told them, I don't agree. They repeated the thing, because Umar is not criticizing the idea, the principle, but he reject the idea of them taking anything from the wealth. He said, no, put it in the Baytul Mal al-Muslimin. They said, ya Amir al-Mu'minin, if this money went missing, who is responsible? He said, you. They said, that's me, we should be part of the game. Abdullah ibn Umar being the eldest, he kept quiet. The younger one, yeah, this one in every place, they think they have a right. They talk more than the old people. They have respect, they are calm. So Abdullah ibn Umar, khalas, I've already said my word, and the Khalifa doesn't agree. But Ubaydullah, no, kept on repeating. He wants to take his right. What he believes is his right. So Abdurrahman bin Auf was there. He said, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, it looks like you will not agree with them and they will not agree with you. Why can't you make it qirad? Qirad is mudaraba. You know mudaraba, right? In another place they call it qirad, from the word qard. Yeah. So why can't you make it qirad? This shows that mudaraba is known to the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, right? Yeah, I'm saying this because there are some people who say that mudaraba is based on ijtihad, and therefore you can modify it in the way you want. That's why they kept on playing with whatever they want to play with it. So it was there in the time of Rasulullah ﷺ. Mudaraba has to be the one which was approved by Rasulullah ﷺ and the companions. So he said, why can't you make it mudaraba? Qirab. You take the capital and you share the profit with them. Umar agreed, that's how the case was closed. But subhanAllah, look at this, these are his children having this heavy debate with them to make sure that there is no mismanagement of any part of the Muslim public wealth. You know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show mercy upon them and let us meet them in Firdaus, inshaAllah. Okay. Any last word?
No questions, first question is, a person has agreed to teach for 1 hour for an amount of time, X amount of time. If the student finishes their work for that session earlier than an hour, should the teacher charge the student less than the session? X amount? or can the teacher charge the X amount even though the student finishes early in the class?
Why can't he go to the next topic? He says 1 hour, then he shouldn't leave before the end of the hour, or else he has to negotiate with the people who brought them. If let's say they're younger students, he has to inform their guardians that this class sometimes ends 5 minutes before the time. Is that okay? He has to tell them because they buy that time. You know. So it goes to another topic, introduce it, and then complete it in the next class.
And the second question is, what is the difference? How do you know the difference between your nafs and misperception?
How do you know the difference between
your nafs and shaitan's whispers? We are doing the same with nafs. Shaitan's whispers. How do you know the difference?
You just clean whatever is wrong. Shaitan is the one who is influencing the nafs. Al-ammara bis-su, to think in that way. So righteousness, staying away from anything that Allah SWT doesn't like, tawheed, chases away all of these bad and evil thoughts that comes from the shaitan. Yeah. It's from the shaitan influencing the nafs al-ammara bis-su to make a person think in that way. Yeah, so tawheed, aqeedah, righteousness, prayers, all of these are the things that will make the soul purified, inshallah. Ameen.
Two questions from you. Firstly, from a sister, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The following hadith was mentioned in the last class by Shaykh Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas reported. I said, the Messenger of Allah, what do you think if someone invades my home and stretches out his hand to kill me?
Mm-hmm.
The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, said, be like the son of Adam, Yazid ibn Khalid, recited the verse, if you raise your hand against me to kill me, I shall not raise my hand against you to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Verily, I fear Allah, the Lord of the worlds. How do we reconcile between this and the other hadith? Sa'ad ibn Zayd reported the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, whoever is killed protecting his property is a martyr, whoever is killed protecting his family is a martyr.
The first one is talking about the civil war amongst the Muslims. The second one is talking about a thief, a criminal coming to your house to kill. The Prophet said, you fight him back. Then just submit and let him just kill like that. Somebody comes to your house to take your money, don't give him. He said, if he fights me, he said, fight him back. If I kill him, he said, he goes to hell. If he kills me, I go to Jannah. But the first one is talking about the fitna that happens. Muslims are fighting Muslims out of dunya or some other matters. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't get involved. Be like the best son of Adam. You know.
Can we say there is no problem with making dua in this manner against those who falsely accuse us of something?
It is better not to. I heard some of the du'at making du'a against somebody exactly like this. Yeah, it's better not to. You know, but if somebody does who was really hurt, it's his right. Yeah. Asking Allah to guide them is better. You get it? But if he does the du'a, it's his right. He's not supposed to be blamed. The condition is that person really, really, really is a criminal. Who deserves for him to make that dua against him? Yeah. But it's better to ask Allah to guide him. Mm-hmm. He says, Ya Allah, the one who sold my horse, if he is poor, make him rich. And if he is not poor, but he just wants to steal out of following the desire, he said, Ya Allah, guide him. SubhanAllah. He said, As-salafu as-salih, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, when he was making dua against the one who stole his horse, he said, if he is doing that out of, you know, poverty, he said, Ya Allah, make him rich so that he will not steal again. But if he is doing it out of following the desire, he said, Ya Allah, guide him. Yeah. It's good to have this behavior, making dua for people to be guided. Mm. But as I said, it's his right. I know, inshallah, there are people who deserve to be treated in that way. لا يرحم لا يرحم. This is a general statement by the Prophet ﷺ that you have to show mercy to the creation. But the one who is hurt by others, they oppress you, they take your wealth, they beat you up, and then the person make dua against them, they deserve. They're the one who are not showing mercy. He's just replying them with that which he believes they deserve. Adam, we're done. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.